Culture.
Backstory. The Drama of Democracy. A critical guide to election night, the top billing show of 2024.
A car drives down a road in drizzly central London, taking a besuited man home from a meeting. It is a mundane image, transmuted into spectacle by the alchemy of elections. Tracked in the sort of aerial footage normally reserved for felons on the run, the car conveyed Sir Keir Starmer to Downing Street from Buckingham Palace, where, at the King's invitation, he became Britain's new Prime Minister on July 5th. Walter Badgett, a Victorian editor of The Economist, divided the Constitution into the efficient parts, like the cabinet, and the dignified or theatrical elements, like the monarchy. Election night, the top billing show in many countries in what is a bumper year for voting, brings the two together. It is a pivotal moment in the life of a nation. But it is also a drama, mixing a high-stakes plot with actually set pieces and rhetorical motifs. These days, the night's action begins with an exit poll, which, like a prologue, announces the key themes. Sometimes the findings are predictable, as with the thumping of the Conservatives foretold by pollsters in Britain. Sometimes this opening scene is electrifying. In France, the preliminary results of parliamentary elections flash up on TV after a 10-1 countdown. On July 7th, they landed with a boom, showing Marine Le Pen's hard-right national rally surprisingly beaten into third place. Subplots unfold as the main action simmers. In America, TV networks race to call the outcomes in each state. In a modern version of medieval football, which involved rival villages tussling over pigs' bladders, English constituencies compete to count their votes fastest. Like the comic figures who jostle with Shakespeare's heroes, joke candidates line up with serious ones to hear the results. Challengers to Rishi Sunak, the Tory leader, included Count Binface. Sir Keir saw off Nick, the incredible flying brick. Then come the big soliloquies, i.e. the concession and victory speeches. A leader's concession is the political equivalent of a condemned man's remarks from the scaffold. Fortunately, a formula is available. You accept your loss, take responsibility, and call for national unity. Mr. Sunak pulled this off brilliantly. Nothing in his premiership became him like the leaving of it. In France, Ms. Le Pen deployed another familiar trope, that of disappointment as a triumph in waiting. Our victory, she insisted, has merely been delayed. In America, the concession tradition is said to date to a telegram from William Jennings Bryan to William McKinley in 1896. Perhaps the finest example was John McCain's moving concession to Barack Obama in 2008. The tradition was flouted by Donald Trump, who has turned a generic performance of democratic norms into a nail-biting moment of jeopardy. The victory speech, an altogether easier gig, evinces respect for vanquished foes and their supporters and embraces the challenges ahead. Dawn is a popular metaphor, echoing Tony Blair in 1997. A new dawn has broken, has it not? Sir Keir spoke of the sunlight of hope. If the results are messy, claiming victory early is a way to shape perceptions, as it was in France for Jean-Luc Mélenchon, a left-wing firebrand. When the winner assumes power, the choreography reflects the status of their office. America has the pageant of the inauguration, with its solemn oath and poems declaimed in the rain. The British process is brisk, like a one-act play with no interval. New prime ministers stroll up to number 10, their relatively modest abode. The imagery casts the country as a family, with the leader as its steward rather than an overlord. Elections in autocracies belong to a different genre. Instead of the will of the people, they showcase the autocrat puppeteer's grip on the state. Election night is a lifeless tableau of power, often with a hint of farce in the naked ballot stuffing and inflated tallies. In a free vote, the ultimate coup de théâtre features the extras rather than the stars. Glugging your coffee on the way to work or carrying your dry cleaning as you plod home, you arrive at the polling station as an ordinary mortal. Then you enter the voting booth. Perhaps there is a curtain to draw behind you, and as if in a conjurer's trick, you become a hero in your country's story. In the sweep of history, this is still an unusual and heartwarming plotline. Yet, as with Tinkerbell, the fairy in Peter Pan, kept alive by the audience's belief, the magic works only if enough people trust in it, whether or not they win. Too many seem to be losing the faith.